All right, open your Bibles, if you would please, to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. I'm not really looking forward to preaching this, to be honest with you. It's kind of vexing. But it is Bible. And I've been saved long enough to realize what goes on in churches and what goes on in the world and where we are spiritually, and that over the last few years, we have seen an absolute increase of sexual sins, of fornication. We've also seen hate speech talked about more, and the silencing of sanity, where basically we want to silence all sanity. Anybody that is sane, that just looks at this and says, that is insane behavior, that is being silenced. But what we are seeing today more than ever is a rise in fornication among the people of God, even, that name the name of Christ. I don't pretend like all these people are saved, but I know there are some saved people that sometimes they get trapped into sexual sins or sins of fornication. Well, God knew it too. And he laid it down in Leviticus chapter 18. And although we are not Israel, and we are not confused about that, we do not believe that we are a theocracy. We do not believe. However, we do believe that there are principles that are stated in Leviticus, and we believe those principles are to be held to still today. Principles of morality are to be held to today. And they are in the New Testament as well. That's right. They are all over the New Testament. So when we see a principle in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, we understand we have two witnesses to that principle, and that it still abides today. All right? For us. If we don't see it, what's that, brother?
Yeah,
in
18 here, this is speaking to nations he's driving out.
Exactly. That's just it. And that's, I was going to say it too. This is a warning to nations, period, that if you follow these sins, you will be destroyed. Because God said, I destroyed them because of these sins. Is he still the same God in the Old Testament as he is the New Testament?
Amen.
Then he's still going to destroy America for these sins.
Yeah.
Because there are principles that you cannot get around. There are principles in every dispensation, whatever you want to call it. There are principles that stay the same. They remain the same all the way through, that show up in every single time that God dealt with people. And these principles of morality and destruction of nations because of their sin and wickedness. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, we understand fully that we are not under Levitical law, nor is America a Christian nation. We understand that. We're not David Barton. We're not confused about it. We're not dominionist. We understand that there's no such thing as a Christian nation. However, we should not have a death wish for our nation either. And we shouldn't just do everything that God hates. If we know God hates something, then a nation, if it is a wise people, then it will not do what the God of the Bible hates. You don't have to be a Christian nation to understand that. America was a blessed nation when she followed the morality and truth of the scriptures. You know what I find with a lot of these dominionists, these other people? They skate over the Great Awakening and the work of God. They skate over John Leland and the Baptist and the First Amendment. They skate over all those things to try to prove that it was all set up by pagans. Nobody was Christian. There was no Bible believers here. I don't know how you all got here, because there wasn't any here. So it just magically, I guess through osmosis or something, poof, you just popped up one day and you were Christians. And I don't know how it ever happened. Now, that's what the dominionists would have you believe. And that the Baptists got it wrong, and let's do it the Dominionist way. Let's do it their way. Well, we already know what their way leads to: death. Somebody's going to die. That's what happens when church and state merges. So we're not confused about that. We understand the differences in those things. But listen, a society cannot run on homosexuality or perverted sins. It cannot. It cannot survive. It cannot function effectively when it disobeys the clear teachings of God on sexual sins, on fornication. Fornication is a disease worse than AIDS that destroys a nation. And when I say fornication, I mean porneia, I mean all of it, whether it's pornography, whether it's bisexuality, homosexuality, bestiality, any of it. Yes. 90 sexes now. 90 different classifications of what people are. And there's just one for me. You're all insane. You're all devil-possessed is what the problem is. That believe in 90 different, you are devil-possessed people. That's what you are. You probably have 90 different devils in you. That's what the real problem is. Legion, right? Sexual sins are destroying this nation. We have abominations that destroy nations. This nation is committing every single wicked abomination that God destroyed nations over. It is not only committing them, it is exporting them, it is putting its blessing upon them, it is mandating them. And the churches are not far behind. The churches are doing the same thing in America today. The churches are putting their stamp of approval and sanctifying it. These sins. They are sanctifying them. Putting their stamp of approval on them. Justifying them. Becoming complacent with them. You don't have to be a theocracy to have a brain and understand that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. We wouldn't even have a law if it wasn't for the Bible in this country. We would not have any laws in this country. We would not have it without the Bible. Because no one would know the difference between right and wrong if it wasn't for the Word of God and the conscience that bears witness to that truth. Notice what God says. He says, after the doing of the land of Egypt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, ye shall not do. Why? Well, because God destroyed them because they were doing all of these sins that we're going to talk about, unfortunately, tonight. But they were doing them. Egypt is a picture of the wicked world. It's a wicked nation that was full of every abomination before the Lord. Think about it. America is doing everything God hates. We are a nation of fornication. Absolute perversion everywhere you see. By the way, this preaching doesn't hurt your children. The things that I'm going to say to you tonight are no more explicit than what God put in His holy word right here. There are some people that think, oh, don't touch those things. I don't want to awaken anything. No, this doesn't awaken anything. This doesn't glorify anything. This shows you what it leads to, and that's death. This doesn't put a good spin on it. This doesn't put a good light on it. It's just good old-fashioned sin-hating preaching. That's what it is, which we need today more than ever. Oh, my kids don't need that. They're protected. No, they're not. The devil lurks about, walking about, seeking whom he may devour everywhere. You think your child's conscience won't be touched with sin and wickedness? You're a fool if you believe that. A fool if you believe that. Amen. I've been around a lot of fundamentalist fools, believe me, in my life, and I have watched them. Right. Churches full of fornication and wickedness. Right. And nobody wanting to call it out. Nobody wanting to say anything. Worried about the dollar. Watching it go on in there and just business as usual. Yep. If one of the workers gets caught doing something, one of the teachers, they just shuffle them off and act like nothing happened and say, well, so-and-so had this indiscretion and so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and they're gone and they just sweep it under the rug and get rid of them. Right. Or ship them off somewhere else so they can pervert somebody else's kids. Come on. Right. No different than the Roman Catholics. Right. I can show you some fundamentalists in Florida that are the same thing. Yep. I can show you some in Hammond, Indiana that are the same thing. You think that spirit of perversion in Jack Scott just happened overnight? Really? You don't think that loose talk and that sexual immorality, the talk about that and all those other things didn't add up to that? You don't think it led up to that? You don't think writing a book, you don't think writing a book that you had the audacity to write a book about the Lord's Supper being intercourse with God? Are you serious? Where do you think that comes from, folks? It's an environment that is comfortable with fornication. I don't want it to be comfortable here. I want you to be uncomfortable with sin. I don't want you to be comfortable with sin. I don't want you to be comfortable with it. I don't want your children to be comfortable with it. I want them to know there's nothing to experiment with. You experiment with something, you're experimenting with hell. That's what you're doing. I want them to know that when this preacher dies right here, I want them to know one thing. He preached against sin and left me without excuse. Amen. They're not going to be able to listen to these sermons and say, he didn't warn me. I didn't know. No one told me. No one explained anything. No, you're not going to be able to do that. Because somebody else is going to teach him on the internet very explicitly. The pornography they put in front of your children's face when they go to the store, they're going to explain it very explicitly. Trashy. Yeah, let's just get in a bubble and pretend like it's not going to happen. And then watch people's lives destroyed. No, I'd rather just blow the whole cover off of it. Amen. Don't just rock the boat. Tip it all the way over. I don't like rocking the boat. I like tipping the whole thing over. Sorry, I made that kid cry. It's my fault. There's not enough preaching today on fornication and sexual sins. There really isn't. The churches are going silent. The pastors are dumb dogs that cannot bark. They don't want to touch it. Pornography running rampant in fundamental Baptist churches. Fornication, adultery. They all cry, grace, grace. No, you want a license to live like hell, and no such license is given from God. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And God still hates sexual sins. And America is slipping off worse into those sins. And there's a further attempt to silence opposition. You know, if somebody is preaching the Word of God, if they're compromising, if they're not preaching the Word of God, if they're preaching work salvation, if they're preaching those, I could understand opposing them, all right? If they're like these rogue street preachers that just go out and they just, all they do is hold up pickled pigs' heads and try to cause fights and arguments and don't preach the gospel, I could understand going against them. What I can't understand is people today standing against Bible preaching against sin. And trying to say, well, you shouldn't be concentrating on things like that and talking. You know, can I help you with something? The pornography sermons, the two pornography sermons that I preached about a year ago, you know those two pornography sermons are the third and fourth, or the second and third? No, after C.S. Lewis, the fourth and the fifth top sermons that I've ever preached on sermon audio that have come across there. They've had more hit. They have like 4,000 hits apiece, almost pretty close to it. Why is that? And you know how many emails I get from people that talk about that, that talk about the struggle? Because listen, pastors do not understand that you are pastoring people from an internet age. I'll save that for another sermon, but they don't get it. And that's what the real problem is. These kids have been exposed to things that you don't even understand it. By the time they're 20 years old and I get a hold of them, they get in here, they've been through everything. It has taken control and rewired their brain. And what do you need today? Straightforward, bold, Elijah-style preaching with no compromise and no apology. If you don't like it, lump it. Get right with God, and you'll love it. Right. You'll feel the cleanest you ever did in your whole life. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about some of these sins, and we're going to see what's really going on in America. I'm going to talk about some touchy things here. I don't like it. To be honest with you, I don't like it, but I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, help us, Lord. I don't like preaching on this, really, these different things, but, Lord, they're real, and they're happening. People need to understand what's really going on in this world and why it's going on. and what's going on in churches. And the call to repentance must be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin of him, near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. So he goes through a list of these. What's the point here? Number one, incest in America and pedophilia is running rampant. It's real. It's real, folks. It's not a joke. And it happens more than you can ever imagine. And it's not fun to talk about. I realize that. That's why nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to get real. This is the realest you'll get. God said it. What's the first thing he talked about? Incest. He just talked about it. Uncovering your father's nakedness, your mother. What does that mean? That means that you don't run around naked. Put some clothes on, number one. Don't walk around without your clothes on. Put your clothes on. Cover yourself up for your children. Make sure your children are covered up. Make sure they understand the differences in boys and girls as far as what's allowed and what's not allowed. But it also means that there are some that commit incest, brothers and sisters, and different things like that. That's why girls should be separated from boys. When they get to a certain age, they shouldn't be wrestling around and doing all those things. No, you don't do that. You teach them the difference and to respect boundaries. See, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, I don't like it either. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I ain't never heard anybody talk about it. Nobody wants to preach it. God said it, though, in his word. God said he's going to destroy nations. He destroyed nations for it because they were doing that. So it's a problem. I'll give you the statistics in case you don't believe me, it's a problem today. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt uncover her nakedness. Yeah, you're not to marry another person. You're not to marry somebody in your family like that or anything like that, brothers, sisters, and all that kind of stuff, which is going on, by the way, today. It's going full mainstream. You say, I can't even imagine that. I know, but it's there. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. That stuff goes on too, by the way. Aunts and uncles messing around with children. It happens. Chances are it happened to them. The only thing that can break that cycle is the Lord Jesus Christ. God can break that. God can stop that. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Here are some statistics that should be familiar to us all but aren't, either because they're too mind-boggling to be absorbed easily or because they're not publicized enough. 1 in 3 to 4 girls and 1 in 5 to 7 boys are abused before they turn 18. An overwhelming incidence of what happens within the family. These statistics are well known among industry professionals who are often too quick to add, and this is notoriously unreported crime. 95% of teen prostitutes and at least 1/3 of female prisoners were abused as kids. Abused youth are twice as likely to be arrested for a violent offense as adults, are at twice the risk for lifetime mental health issues, and are twice as likely to attempt or commit teen suicide. The list goes on. Incest is the single biggest commonality between drug and alcohol addiction, mental illness, teenage and adult prostitution, criminal activity, eating disorders. Abused youths don't go quietly into the night. They grow up, and 18 isn't a restart button. It's a sin that is rampant in our country, and God hates it. We have to teach our children, first of all, that boys don't touch girls and girls don't touch boys. See, that's pretty simple, preacher, isn't it? Yeah, the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Right. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every wife have her own husband. Right. We'll get into that, the purpose of marriage, sometime. While much of this is incest in nature, it's dealing also with the authority figure as a parent or an uncle and is applicable to children within their children. Happens to both. Happens incestually, it happens with children. It's not exactly the same when children are with children because they're of equal at the same level type stuff, and sometimes they do some things that they shouldn't do, and they have to be taught appropriate boundaries. Teach them appropriate boundaries. Amen. It's very important. Pastors don't like to talk about things like this, but it is appropriate. You teach them these things. You teach them, you don't go wrestling around with your brother. You know, if you're a sister, you don't do that. Treat your sisters with respect. My son knows full well, don't put your hands on my daughters. He understands that. He understands it. I don't mean that in a dirty way. I'm talking about just, you don't put your hands on my daughters. You know, you don't get mad at them. You don't put your hands on, those are my daughters, and you don't put your hands on my daughters. That's my wife, your mother. You don't put your hands on your mother. Obviously, you know, she's going to hug him and all that kind of stuff, but you know the point. You don't violently put your hands on them, ever, ever. That's what men teach young men. And you teach girls, you don't provoke your brother to anger. You don't provoke him. And you don't put your hands on him. You have respect for each other. Those are just simple things. But God forbid incest of any kind would take place, but we see, today we see even in America, fathers running off with daughters and other disgusting things. It's real, folks. Rape of a family member and many other things by authority figures is real. It happens. It happens all the time. Now, it should not be among the saints of God, but it does happen. And that's why God said, don't do these things. I'll destroy you for it. And that fornication is running rampant in America. And a lot of it is at the home. Or a Catholic priest. Let me just help you with something. You've got to be dumber than a box of rocks to take your child and give them over to a man that has sworn himself to never physically, never to have a wife. Right. Let me give you one step further. You've got to be insane in your brain to take your child and send them into a pastor's office by themselves anyway. Right. First of all, what in the world do I have to say to your child anyway? Like, what am I going to sit there and have a conversation with your little kid about? Like what? Can you think of anything really that important that I want to have a conversation with your child about that I wouldn't say, hey, take care of your kid or do something with him or whatever? I would say it to you. Why would I have a conversation alone with your child? Why would I do that? Does that not, and I don't know how this guy down in Florida did this and what these people were thinking, but he had all these hundreds of children that made these claims or whatever, and I believe them, you know, but they made these claims or whatever. And why is this guy meeting with these children? Like, what? Nobody thought that was weird? Nobody thinks it's weird to go talk to my child by themselves. I mean, like, what were they thinking? Were they just Catholics or what? I mean, because that's what Catholics do. Oh, go be an altar boy. I mean, seriously, you've got to have a special kind of stupid to do that. I don't understand it. I just honestly cannot fathom that idea. Because I wouldn't leave my child alone with anybody like that. I would have no reason to. Why would I want some other adult having conversations with my child? First of all, you're the father. If they need to talk about baptism, and I'm sorry, no kid needs to talk about baptism at 4 or 5 years old.
Amen. Right.
And even if they did, why would... I mean, first of all, most 4 and 5 year olds don't even know what sin is.
Right.
Let's be honest. They don't even understand what sin is. Yeah. He said, they don't have any clue what baptism is, what it's for. Anyway, this is not new, though. It's been going on since the fall of man. I've got to hurry up. I've got to keep going here. But the depravity is much worse today. You teach your children boundaries. You teach your children what's right. And if somebody harms them, you tell them to tell you. You keep communication open. Tell your children to tell you anything. Be ready to tell you anything. Number two. We have the sin of adultery or fornication running rampant in America today. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Why did he say that? Because it's so common. It was then in Egypt, and it was in Canaan, and it is in America. There is no new thing in this is no new thing in America, the nation of fornication. I was reading one article and he said this, and I was not exaggerating when I said that sexual sin is exploding in our society. One example of this is the stunning growth of polyamory. You ever heard of that? You've heard of it, Nate, because you've heard of everything. But the following comes from a recent article in The Guardian that highlighted how the city of Portland, in particular, has become a hotbed for those that are into the poly lifestyle. So what's that? It's the practice of intimate relationships involving more than two people with the consent of everyone involved. That means there's like four or five people, a triangle or whatever you want to call it, of three or four people, right, that agree to enter into this relationship together with each other. But not like polygamy where you get married, but you just fornicate, basically. But you'd be surprised how, you know, this is... When you destroy marriages between a man and a woman, when you destroy this, when the church has destroyed it with rampant divorce and didn't care either, when you destroy the foundations, what can the righteous do? What are we left with? We're left with this. That's right, destruction. In recent years, polyamory, thank you, polyamory. Polyamory is working its way to becoming a household term. Researchers have estimated that 4 to 5% of Americans practice some form of consensual non-monogamy. Yeah. A 2014 blog post by Psychology Today revealed that 9.8 million people have agreed to allow satellite lovers in their relationships, which includes poly couples, swinging couples, and other practical non-monogamy relationships. Well, not really. They're not even relationships, really. You can call them that. Why? What's that? It's just lust. Even a dog has more respect than that. It's worse than a dog. So they've skipped even polygamy and have went straight to this poly lifestyle. So they have equal intimate relationships with multiple persons everywhere. By the way, this is impossible. The Bible says that two shall be one flesh. You can't be one flesh with multitudes of people. It doesn't work. But America is a wicked nation of fornication. In Portland, their home of these clubs, the most per capita, they have annual pornography festivals there. It seems you can't throw a stone without finding a poly relationship. It's all over the city. It is sick. It's disgusting. It's vile. Sodom had nothing on America. Although there's no official data supporting an exact number, various meetup groups boast of a few thousand members each, while other Facebook groups have hundreds. This is America. Still want to wave your flag? Still want to wave your flag and say it's a Christian nation? God bless America. Pledge allegiance. By the way, this is all supported by most progressives in the Congress and the Senate and all that too. They don't reject any of this stuff. These are the people that make up the Democratic platform, and the Republicans, they just do it in hiding, but they still do it. and they get caught in a scandal, it's a scandal for them because it's never a scandal for Democrats because they're all a bunch of dogs in heat all the time. So it's just for Republican, it's a scandal. We're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This poly lifestyle, that exposure has only risen recently. Then they did a Showtime, which is a cable network. They did a reality TV show on it. It's called The Poly Lifestyle. Married and Dating has certainly helped herald the lifestyle into homes across the U.S. Still think TV doesn't have any impact on your family? Still think movies have no impact on family? But this spring, another show is hailed as television's first polyromantic comedy. How is that romance? Exactly. You see, you, me, her follows married couple Jack and Emma, attractive, suburban, and professional, as they enter into that poly relationship with some grad student. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. This would never go mainstream. That's what everybody said 40 years ago about homosexuality, bisexuality, and it's now the platform of the Republican Party.
Right.
Ain't that America?
Yeah.
Yeah. The congressman that came out at the Republican convention? Oh, Peter Thiel, I'm sorry. Yeah, the guy, the co-founder of PayPal, yeah, came out right there. And they applauded him. I rest my case on that. You have open relationships today, they call them. Movie stars bragging about it, bragging about open marriages to do what they want to do. And Hollywood puts it out and popularizes it. And now we have a nation full of this wickedness. Every man and woman lying around like a bunch of dogs. By the way, God called it a lot worse than that. If you can't take that, then you know what it tells me? You're not reading your Bible. Because I don't get anywhere near as explicit as God does. By the way, we're in Bible times. These aren't what it used to be. This is what it is. This is just that real preaching that you never got in Fundyville. Because I did live a lost, wicked lifestyle. And I did run around. I did all manner of wickedness. And I understand what it does to people's minds. I understand what it does to your conscience. I understand what it's like to want to have pure thoughts in your mind. And because of your defiled past and things, those images come up and they burn an image never to be erased. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to warn these young people. Don't defile yourself. You'll never forgive yourself. And you'll never forget it. What is this? It's all a bunch of rebellion against God's order. Never mind the crushed lives, the confused children, the diseases, and every other wicked thing under the sun that comes from this kind of rebellion. They don't care about that. You know what somebody said? You know, this one of these people in this poly lifestyle said? She said this: I've learned monogamy for me was a possessive, controlling experience. Possessive and controlling. What does that tell you? I learned that giving my heart and myself to somebody else was possessive and controlling, so I would rather prostitute myself out to everyone because I hate God and I'm in rebellion. The Bible says they're haters of God that do this. Romans 1. This is all applicable. That right? His commandments are grievous to them. Marriage is grievous to them. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's right. Just like Satan beguiled Eve, ye shall be as gods. You can do whatever you want. God is so oppressive. God's rules are so oppressive. That's right. This person said, I realized pretty early on that I wanted freedom, and I also wanted to be an ethical person. That person's insane. But I want to be ethical too. Not sure. Situation? Not even that. I mean, that's worse than situation ethics, right? So I didn't want to make commitments that I couldn't keep. But I didn't have a word for what I wanted. Who lives with her partner of 7 years, Jeffrey Lords. Jeffrey has another partner, Gail Parker, 31, also a psychology major, who he met on OkCupid 14 months ago. Yeah, all three are in the V dynamic with Jeffrey as the pivot person. Gail and Tamela are not romantically involved. They refer to each other as metamour, the partner of one's partner, which is similar to a family bond. No, it's not. It is crazy, isn't it? But look what you have to do to just get around the plain truth of the Word of God. Look at how much foolish nonsense you have to put yourself through. You're living in a house with somebody. Nobody is true to each other. You all just dwell there, and nobody even cares about each other enough to be true to any of them. Who would want to even live that life? Yes. Very deceived people. But I'm telling you, it'll be accepted by churches in 10 years. They'll be defending it. In 10 years. Maybe less. Maybe a few. Do you see the insanity of disobeying God's order? You try to manufacture your own family. It's not a family, you wicked devil. It's a whorish, wicked relationship. But it's popular, becoming normal. Romans chapter 1, verse number 31. It's without natural affection, without understanding, covenant breakers. What are they? They're covenant breakers. They don't care. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers. Amen. Despisers of those that are good. That's oppressive. Why do you think people think that keepers at home is oppressive? Right. Why do you think they do that? Pastors. Yeah, pastors. Yeah. Yeah, they get mad. They don't want to preach it. They don't want to tell the truth about it. Why don't they? It's not good for the bottom line. Plus, you'd have to get your... Never mind.
Right. Amen.
You'd have to get your wife in line. Yeah. What would happen? Your wife couldn't run your church anymore. Your wife couldn't run your ministry anymore. Your wife couldn't run your home anymore.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen. And it's hurting the work of God. That
is. It is hurting the work of God. And you know what? Your wife might run away.
Right.
Because she didn't want to do right.
Right. Yep.
Hmm? That's right. It is. The Word of God is blasphemy. That's right. Notice, though, the end time sin that runs amok here with no restraint. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. They don't repent of their fornication. Because sorcery and fornication, hand in hand. That's how you bring on that final kingdom. All that sin and wickedness. That spiritual kingdom, the Antichrist rising, and that spirit. Got to have more of that to make the devils comfortable. That's what they do. The dead are there. If you want someone to be an equal partner, this person says, I at least want them to be compatible with what I consider to be my tribe. I don't want someone who's going to cause a lot of discord in my other relationships. And then somebody says, then there's the issue of jealousy. Franklin's partner, Eve, admits jealousy has been a factor in every one of her relationships. Eve lives with her husband of 16 years, but has been with Franklin since 2012. The two even co-authored a book on the subject, More Than Two, A Practical Guide to Ethical How do you have ethical fornication and ethical adultery? So can we explain that? How do you have ethical? Huh? Yeah. She goes on to say this, and while Eve is also dating a woman, Franklin is currently with five. He says, there is a limited capacity for human interpersonal connection, and I seem to be pretty close to my capacity right now, he said. Oh, that ain't trouble. Oh, I don't want to know. But the Lord pronounced judgment on people and nations who allowed and promoted these abominations. The polygamy, all of them, this poly lifestyle, all of this fornication, whatever the case may be. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, they were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Yeah, worse than animals, that's right. In a Barna poll, Barna also found that figures for a nationally representative sample show that fornication is something, or sexual sins is something with which Americans from all backgrounds struggle. It found that the same percentage of men in mainstream America commit adultery on their spouse is 35%, with 17% of women engaging in extramarital affairs themselves. Also discovered in the recent survey is that 75% of men who admitted to cheating on their wives also confessed that they had more than one affair, with a 31% of them saying they had more than five. This infidelity was found to have common roots. You know what that common root is? Working at a computer, the rate of extramarital affairs appears to have a correlation to frequency of viewing pornography. Haish proclaimed, a married person who views pornography several times a month is ripe to have an affair. Haish presented more stats to prove the destructive path on which pornography leads spouses. Specifically, another part of the survey showed that 40% of married men watch porn at least several times a month, which compares to 35% of married men having affairs. Haish reported, similarly, 22% of married women view pornography at least several times a month, and 17% of married women have affairs. The survey also shows that twice as many married men have affairs as married women, which corresponds to twice as many married men watching pornography as married women. It's a problem. And it's not dealing with inordinate affections. Go back and listen to that sermon. And practicing ordinate affections. And giving your heart to your wife. Amen. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday. Husbands, love your wives. Get ready. Number three, and we have the sin of homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Another lifestyle choice, says this article, that has been experiencing tremendous growth is bisexuality. According to the New York Post, one study of 30,000 U.S. adults found that the number of Americans that have dabbled into that has more than doubled since 1990. More than doubled. Bisexuality is booming with the number of people who do that more than doubling, a study says. Some 7.7% revealed that they had those relationships in 2014 compared to 3.1% in 1990. Joshua, you have a way with words. Yes, he is. Indeed, he is. I nicknamed him rightly, didn't I? By the way, the Bible doesn't call it bisexual. It calls it the sodomite life. And God's going to judge this nation for it. And I'll tell you, a lot of it is destroying the sexes, and that's what it's about, androgyny and destroying the sexes. And that's why there's so much mass confusion. That's why you have that problem. Because there's no, people don't understand what a man is and what a woman is. And when you have pastors that won't stand up for those roles, what do you expect the people to do? But you think maybe this is just the world, right? Well, how about the Methodist Church here? Representatives of the United Methodist Church have elected their first openly gay bishop in defiance of church prohibitions on homosexuality. Reverend Karen, senior pastor of Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco. No kidding, San Francisco. Are we surprised? Was elected bishop of the church's Western Division at a conference Friday night in Scottsdale, Arizona. I think at this moment I have a glimpse of the realm of God. 58-year-old Olivito said after her election, according to the news story from the church, "Today we took a step closer to embody beloved community, and while we may be moving there, we are not there yet. We are moving on to perfection." Perfection is to be the queen pervert, I guess. They say that's going to be perfection. It is for the Antichrist, because that Methodist church is the church of Antichrist. The United Methodist Church, which has more than 7 million members in the United States, is divided over the issue of homosexuality. How could you be divided? Leave. They're a bunch of wicked reprobates. They're a bunch of wicked devils. Walk away. Leave. Get a spine, will you? Who in the world sticks around to vote about that? God already voted about it. God already said it's an abomination. He didn't change his mind. Get out of there. How could 7 million people even stand around and talk about that? Right. I'll tell you why, because you have 100 different Bible versions, that's why. Right. So there's mass confusion. Amen. So nobody knows what to follow. Male shrine prostitute, that's right, that's what they call it. Anyway, here's what this guy says. He says, "This election raises significant concerns and questions of church polity and unity," Bruce, the president of the church council bishop, said. In a statement after the vote, he wrote, "We find ourselves in a place where we have never been. We have highlighted the divisions on the issue. There are those in the church who will view this election as a violation of church law and a significant step toward a split. While there are others who will celebrate the election as a milestone towards being a more inclusive church. Our differences are real and cannot be glossed over, but they are also reconcilable." No, they're not. How could they be? It means anybody that holds up anything right has to fold. That's not reconcilable. Pronounce them all damned and leave. Anathema, right? Cursed. Let it be cursed and leave. As the Associated Press reported earlier this year, other mainline Protestant groups, including the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church of the USA, have approved same-sex marriage. In a vote in May, the United Methodist Church's top policymaking body narrowly approved a full review of all church law and sexuality that is happening now and is expected to take at least 2 years. Who takes 2 years to vote on something God says is an abomination? What is there to vote on? We have to vote on whether we will accept gay. No, I don't accept any of them anywhere. They couldn't be bishops. They couldn't even be church members. They aren't even welcome to come in. They are not welcome. This is a closed assembly. This is a private assembly. They're not welcome to come in here. Oh, that's bad. How are they going to get saved? Out there, where they're supposed to. This is not the evangelical tool. This is where the body of Christ meets and assembles together. Where we edify one another, building each other up in our most holy faith. We're not here to bring sodomites in and spread them out throughout the assembly. No. No, all are not welcome here. I should preach a sermon sometime, all are not welcome here. Brother Finney, just so I don't want anybody to question that. I think it should be very clear. What's that? Well, you would get that. You could get that out of that. But all are not welcome here. Oh, that's terrible. How are people going to get saved? Well, study the nature of the church and we'll talk. But you're a child and you don't know what you're talking about. Because that's not what the assembly is for. Believe me, we'll go out there and preach to anybody out there. We go to all the sodomite events and everything else. We go all over the place. This is for the saints of God. Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah, even dog-faced gremlins. However, as the church noted, many were celebrating, such as Wesley Hingano, who called it a beautiful day. The church added this. I added that his father was also a candidate for bishop. When his father withdrew his name from the ballot because he said he was doing it so people like his son could walk through the doors to freedom in the church. Freedom in the church? Right, freedom to live in sin and you can't say anything about it and we'll invade your church. And we'll invade your church and change it and do whatever we want to in there. And that's what we're going to... No, you won't hear. Because we wouldn't even baptize you and you can't even be a member of this church. That's right. A garden enclosed, right? Sexual sin is running rampant in America. And they repented not of their fornications. Now it's church-sanctioned homosexuality is. Church-approved homosexuals, church-approved bisexuals. This is the confused androgyny era of the effeminate Ahabs and the butch Jezebels. No pun intended in using the word butch. I'm going to keep going. Some of you catch that? I have to stand on my own 2 feet like a man, though. Acceptance of homosexuality is rising across the broad spectrum of American Christianity, including among members of churches that strongly oppose homosexual relationships as sinful. According to an extensive Pew Research Center survey of U.S. religious beliefs, listen to this, and practices, amid a changing religious landscape that has seen a declining percentage of Americans who identify as Christian, a majority of U.S. Christians, 54%, now say that homosexuality should be accepted rather than discouraged by society. 54% of professing Christians in America. Well, this makes me sad. No, it makes me happy because now we're separated from those people. Because we all know that they're fakes and they don't believe the Bible. Stop calling yourself a Christian. You're a pervert. At least half. 54%. While this is still considerably lower than the shares of religiously unaffiliated people, 83%, 83% of people in America say it's cool to be gay. It's okay. It's okay to be gay. That's what they say. 83%. And the Republican Party last week had to brag when that guy came out right there. Man, that's gay. It's just sick. Makes me sick. It is. It is. That's the Southern way of saying that's really fruity, isn't it? That's the Southern way of saying that, isn't it? I always thought people were being nice to me until I figured out that they weren't being nice to me when they said, bless your heart. They thought I was an idiot. They thought I was an idiot when they said that. That's the way that Southern people are rude to you, and I didn't even know that. Huh? They politely insult. It is the most polite insult I've ever probably had. And members of non-Christian faiths, 76% who say the same. The Christian figure has increased by 10% percentage points since we conducted a similar study in 2007. This Church Pew poll is saying that it has jumped 10%. And I bet since Francis did what he did, I bet you it's jumped like 20. It reflects a growing acceptance of homosexuality among Americans from 50 to 62% during the same period. Okay, now stop. People don't like sermons like these to talk about things like this and deal with real statistics of what's really happening. Because this is raw right here. This is what's happening in America. You see why I can't wave my flag and vote Republican? Because I actually know what's going on. Amen. Sorry, my head's not in the sand. I actually understand you're all full of garbage. Right. You're all a bunch of fakes and liars. Right. And I'm not in your little Republican party. Because right. You're a bunch of liars. Because
right.
These are the people that are supporting this now.
Right.
A standing ovation for Assad. Because he's Assad.
Right.
Not just Assad, but because he's Assad. That's why they did it. Do you get that? And because he came out. Among Christians, this trend is driven partly by younger church members. Why? Because they don't have any mean, old, nasty preacher like me in their face preaching to them. That's why. You want to know why? That's why. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you. They don't have a preacher in their face telling them that. You know where I tell it to them at? Right out there in the street. That's where you all tell them the same thing, too. They're not used to a young man standing up and getting out there and preaching and pointing that finger in their face and saying it's wicked as hell. They're not used to it. They're not used to it. That's right. They're used to hipsters, that's right. But when 15 men in this room go out there and preach and lift up their voice and hold up scripture signs and tell the truth, they're not used to it. That's how I know. I meet these poll people right here. I meet these young people out on the street right there. God is love. Well, he's not a queer. So how do you equate that? How do you equate the two together? It's driven by younger church members who are generally more accepting of homosexuality than their elder counterparts. Why? Because they didn't have a dad? Because their dad didn't stand up? Because they watched all that Fruit Loop comedy on television? They watched all the fruits and the nuts run around together? That's why? Because homosexuality was pushed, and then they wanted to, then that sensitive training was, is that what it's called? Sensitivity training was given to them in school. I skipped that, I guess. I don't know. I skipped it. They didn't give me any sensitivity training, as you can tell. What's that? You're with your smooth words. Yeah, this is real smooth. For example, man, I got to hurry up. I'm sorry. I know this is going well. I'm not sorry. I'm going to keep going. For example, roughly half, 51% of evangelical Protestants in the millennial generation, born between 81 and 96, say homosexuality should be accepted by society. Yeah, you don't. That's right. Yeah. Compared with a third of evangelical baby boomers and a fifth of evangelicals in the silent generation. Generational differences with similar patterns also are evident among Catholics, mainline Protestants, and members of historically black Protestant tradition. At the same time, however, a larger segment of older adults in some Christian traditions have become accepting of homosexuality in recent years, helping to drive the broader trend. For instance, 32% of evangelical Protestant baby boomers now say homosexuality should be accepted, up from 25% in 2007. Yeah, this is your father's generation. softening up to it. Why? Well, 30 years of Hollywood, 30 years of being married to a Jezebel, 30 years of not following proper biblical order, 30 years of the feminist movement in them, where the men are neutered and they don't say anything anymore. Afraid to stand up to their wives when their wives don't understand proper biblical order at all. I wonder if that's making anybody mad. Doesn't bother me if it does. I hope it does, because maybe you'll get right if you get angry about it, if you start thinking about what you really are. Because that generation, I'm ashamed of them. They brought about this generation. And they did it all under the guise of fundamentalism. How about that? That's right. Regardless of age, 7 in 10 Catholics whose church teaches that homosexual behavior is intrinsically disordered say that homosexuality should be accepted by society, a 12 percentage point increase since 2007. Similar jumps have occurred among mainline Protestants from 56 to 66%. Orthodox Christians from 48 to 62%. And members of the historical Black Protestant tradition from 39 to 51%. Still think fornication and sexual sins don't need to be preached against? So your kids, so those kids grow up in fundamental homes. They run through all their courses. They go to the Christian school. They serve on the bus route. They sing, "I got the joy, joy, joy in my heart." They sing Jesus juice songs and everything else. And then they what do? They go blaspheme God and become homosexuals, queers, bisexuals, and they go play around with the world. Why? Because no preacher just got up and preached hard against sin ever to them. That's why. They preach their programs and their structures and always preaching to somebody else that's not there, never preaching to those people right there that need to hear it the most, never preaching against sin. Most Mormons and evangelical Protestants still say homosexuality should be discouraged by society. Discouraged. What does that mean, discouraged? In line with the teachings of many of their churches, but 36% of both groups say it should be accepted. What does that mean, accepted? I discourage it, but I accept it. No, you're nuts, okay? Unstable in all their ways. Among Mormons, there was a 12% increase from 24 to 36% in acceptance since 2007. And many evangelicals, there was a 10% rise from 26 to 36. Jehovah's Witnesses remain perhaps the most opposed of any U.S. religious tradition toward homosexuality, with just 16% saying it should be accepted by society. So the JWs are the holdouts. Really? Seriously? 84% of them say no. Of course, they didn't really take Independent Baptists in this survey. If they took even Independent Baptists, they would say it was wrong. I hope. I really hope they would. Probably not. The trend of growing acceptance is evident across specific Protestant denominations, including some conservative denominations with official teachings that remain strongly opposed to same-sex marriage. For example, among members of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the share saying homosexuality should be accepted by society grew by 12 points from 44 to 56 between 2007 and 2014. With the Assemblies of God remain largely opposed to homosexuality, 26% now say it should be accepted by society, up from 16% in 2007. Among members of the Southern Baptist Convention, an evangelical church in the nation's largest Protestant denomination. That's right, they're Protestants. They're not Baptists then. The share saying homosexuality should be accepted increased 7 points from 23 to 30%. Baptist. Members of several mainline churches, some of which have officially embraced same-sex marriage, have become even more accepting of homosexuality in recent years. For instance, 73% of the members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the ELCA, now say it should be accepted by society, up from 56%. 73%. Going to church every week and accepting homosexuality. What are you going to church for? What's the point? Like, what do you even show up for? Is it for the potluck? Is it for the stinking hot dish or what? Huh? Conscience, right. It's for the lutefisk and the hot dish. Members of the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, and the United Church of Christ also have become more accepting towards homosexuality. Why? Because they're silencing sanity. That's why. You know, I'm not going to get too deep into this next one, but I am going to touch it and talk about it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality. It is sick and it is wicked, but it is there. One man allegedly told a Greene County sheriff's deputies that he went to a property about 15 miles northwest of Springfield in the southwest corner of the state. I'm not going to read the rest of it, basically, but he caught a cow, and you know the rest of the story. Mainstream. One person thought another man was abusing a dog abusing a child until they put a surveillance camera in the home that they had shared to monitor him. But this man took a dog. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's enough. You understand what I'm saying. Another man, an 8-month-old pit bull. Is this new, though? No. I want to read you something. Way back in history here, and then we're almost finished here. But in the times of the Puritans, which you all know that I'm not a Puritan. I'm not Reformed. I'm a Baptist, and I understand what that means, right? Not allowed to read them. I'll read those quotes, but can't do it, right? I want to read you something Cotton Mather and these men, what they came across there in America, what was going on at the time. There's a lot of witchcraft and other things that were going on in that time. There always has been in the Salem area for some reason. But I want to read this to you. On June 6th, 1662, at New Haven, there was a most unparalleled wretch, one Potter by name, about 60 years of age, executed for damnable bestialities. By the way, you don't get any more stricter in their conduct and language than Puritans. So this is not going to be too graphic or anything. It's just they were very careful with what they said. Although this wretch had been for now 20 years a member of the church in that place and kept up among the holy people of God there a reputation for serious Christianity, it seems that the unclean devil, which had the possession of this monster, had carried all his lusts with so much fury into this one channel of wickedness that there was no notice taken of his being wicked in any other. Hence 'twas that he was devout in worship, gifted in prayer, forward in edifying discourses among the religious, and zealous in reproving the sins of other people. Everyone counted him a saint. And he enjoyed such a peace in his own mind that in several fits of sickness, wherein he seemed at peace in his own mind, that in several, nigh unto death, he seemed willing to die. Yea, death, he said, smiled on him. Nevertheless, this diabolical creature had lived in most infamous buggeries for no less than 50 years together. And now at the gallows, there were killed before his eyes a cow, 2 heifers, 3 sheep, and 2 sows, all of which he had committed his brutalities. His wife had seen him confounding himself with a dog 10 years before, and he then excused his filthiness as well as he could unto her, but conjured her to keep it secret. But he afterwards hanged that dog himself and then returned unto his own villainies, his former villainies, until at last his son saw him hideously conversing with a sow. Could you imagine being a son and walking in on that? By these means, the burning jealousy of the Lord Jesus Christ at length made the churches to know that he had all this while seen the covered filthiness of this hellish hypocrite. and exposed him also to the just judgment of death from the civil court of judiciary. Very remarkably has been the warnings which this hellbound had received from heaven to repent of his impieties. Many years before this, he had a daughter who dreamt a dream which caused her in her sleep to cry out most bitterly. And her father then, with much ado obtaining of her to tell her the dream, she told him she dreamt that she was among a great multitude of people to see an execution. And it proved her own father that was to be hanged, at whose turning over she thus cried. She said she had a dream before 10 years before her father died. That he was going to be hanged. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was him trying to wait till you get this. It was, you think that was a sign, that was a witness to him to wake up? Get this next one. You're not going to believe the next one. This happened before the time that any of his cursed practices were known unto her. At another time, when there was a malefactor adjudged in those parts to die for the very same transgression which this rotten fellow was guilty of, the governor, with some of the magistrates, most unaccountably, without any manner of reason for their so doing, turned about unto this fellow and said, "What think you? Is not this man worthy to die?" Turned to the man that was hiding his sin. They didn't know. God knew. He now confessed that these warnings did so awaken his conscience as to make him for a time leave off his infernal debauches. And so he said he thought all was pardoned, all was well with him. Nevertheless, he returned unto his vomit and his quagmire until the sentence of death at last fell upon him. Then he acknowledged that he had lived in the sin of bestiality ever since he was 10 years old. Nope. But had sometimes intermittent the perpetration of it some years together. During his imprisonment, he continued in a sottish and stupid frame of spirit and marvelously secure about his everlasting pardon and welfare. He was like, "I'm fine." That's a reprobate mind. That's a reprobate mind. But the church whereto he belonged kept a solemn day of humiliation on this occasion, wherein Mr. Davenport preached, "Did not Achan commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on the congregation of Israel?" And in the close of the fast, that faithful people of God excommunicated this accursed Achan from their own society. You know what he said? Here's what he said. He said he never used secret prayer in his life, and that he frequently omitted family prayer too. Yet he said he had prayed and sinned and prayed, namely, with which he contented himself, throwing set prayer aside. He said one of the worst things he ever did in his life was he didn't have secret prayer. Now, I don't believe the man was saved. The point is that that's not new. God preached against it. And I'm going to tell you something. They're already passing legislation to marry animals. They're already trying to. Pass legislation to marry animals. They're already doing that now. They're going to make, within 10 years, they'll mainstream bestiality. It'll be mainstream. All right, we're going to close with this. Christians are being called hateful, and that's the silence of sanity. They want to silence you. We're being called hateful. Writing a blog or venting in social media about a topic deemed to be hate speech will leave yourself getting raided by the police in Germany. According to a report from Breitbart, German police recently raided homes of 60 people suspected of writing what is deemed hate speech on social media in Germany. This effort was coordinated by the Federal Criminal Police, consisting officers from 25 departments of 14 states. Why? Some guy said it's wicked as hell, that's why. So they sent out the squads after him. No squads after the sods, though, right? These police raids took place in efforts to fight against verbal radicalization. That's what they're going to call preaching. Verbal radicalization. You're verbally radicalizing people. Oh, is that what they call it now? They used to just call it preaching. I like radical Christians, though. Amen. They're not like radical Muslims. They don't kill people. Right. They'll preach the devil out of you, though. Amen. Yeah, they are right about one thing. I am trying to radicalize. I am trying to do that. Christian radicals. You know what that means? Do no harm. Love your enemies. Not like Islam. Not submission, kill. But what is radicalized Christianity? What does it look like? Living for the book, living for the word of God, living after the precepts of this book, doing people no harm, loving your neighbor and telling them the truth, and not suffering sin upon your neighbor. That's what a radical Christian does. So if you want to put me under a list of radical Christians, go ahead, but just make sure you define it by the Bible, you bunch of liars. Because I am trying to radicalize Christians. And I don't care who hears it either. You can come talk to me about it if you want to. I'll show you from the Word of God what it means to be a radical Christian.
Amen.
It means to love your enemies.
Right.
Amen? It means to pray for them. It means to preach to them. That's what it means to be a radical Christian. Because last time I checked, you haven't seen any radical Christians killing anybody. Right? Yeah, if they do, they're not Christians. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced a bill that would criminalize anti-transgender speech, with violators receiving up to 2 years in prison. The new bill introduced May 17th on the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, Biphobia, aims to amend the Canadian Criminal Code to expand the country's hate speech prohibitions to include any public speech or communication that promotes hatred on the basis of gender identity or gender expression. It would also change the Canadian Human Rights Act to cover transgender people. But that's just Canada, right? That wouldn't be like America. I mean, it wouldn't be here. I mean, come on, let's all pledge allegiance and wave the flag. That wouldn't be here. Right? It wouldn't be here. In New York City. New rules that were recently issued by the New York City Commission on Human Rights state that you could be fined up to $250,000 for each time that you offend a transgender individual. Wow, if I pastored there, would I have a ton of fines. I think I'll go there and preach sometime.
Amen.
See if I can't rack up some fines there while I'm there. According to the rules, offenses include such things as referring to a transgender individual by the wrong pronoun or not allowing a transgender individual to use the restroom of their choice. So let me get this straight. I got to let some pervert come in the bathroom with my daughter or you're going to fine me $250,000. Can't get blood out of a turnip. Or by the wrong pronoun. So if I usually don't do that because what I usually say is, "What are you?" That's what I say to them. What exactly are you? I'm a what that one thing say to me? What that thing say to me? I'm a spiritual being. I said, "Yes, you are." That's right, full of devils. I don't know what you are. I just tell them, I flat out tell them, I don't know what you are. I have no clue what you are. Don't get mad at me because I can't figure out what you are. They don't want you to know who they are? Well, it's working because I don't have a clue what they are. And I just tell them, hey, I don't know what you are, okay? I'm sorry, I don't know what you are. And they say, but I'm a man that's dressed in drag. Well, you're not a man. But you are dressed in drag. I just say, no, you're a pervert. According to the rules, anyway, more laws, rules, and regulations like this are going to continue to be put in place and will eventually get to the point where those that wish to speak out against sexual immorality are essentially banned from doing so. Now, I will say this. Those laws are given to businesses for right now, but how long before they are spread out to the common man? And if a 501c3 or a church is a corporation, can the corporation be sued for those same things? I don't know. You know? Yeah, it'll start on social media, I'm sure, yeah. Street preachers, listen, this nation that God is going to destroy is silencing and will silence its preachers. It's coming. They have to. So evil will abound. They have to silence the preachers. They have to shut them up. Now, most of them have shut themselves up. Street preachers and pastors who are willing to speak out against sexual sin will one day be silenced. They will one day be silenced or thrown in jail if they dare offend one of these little sensitive homos. They are so sensitive. I don't know how somebody could be so sensitive that thoroughly rape and destroy men's bodies and attack children, and you're going to pretend like you're that sensitive? You're not that sensitive. You're gross. Yeah. Right. You're a disgusting pervert and a manipulating liar.
Right.
They're not very tolerant as they recruit children and everything else. But we are going to be marginalized looking like kooks. That's what's happening. I'm telling you, we are more and more. Did you hear that? Like 54%. Of people that profess to be Christians are like, it's okay to be gay. Do you understand that that just marginalizes us even more? That the remnant becomes smaller and smaller and we get a bigger target on our back. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger by the day. It gets bigger. Why do you think this preaching and this church stands out so much? Why do you think it doesn't? I'm not bragging about that because all we're doing is our reasonable service. I'm just telling you the reason why it does is because nobody's saying anything. Why the end times remnant, the holdouts, the ones that will stand against sexual perversion and not say it's just normal life, but it's wicked and satanic and perverted and that God hates it and will never accept it as normal. We will never accept it as normal. We will never allow them to indoctrinate our children, send our children to their schools and let them indoctrinate them into their perversion. And they know it. The Republican Party is a homo-loving party. They are accepting it and will force all Republicans to accept it. There will be no party. There will be an end times remnant that will stand against evil and sexual perversion. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Jeremiah 44, verse number 4, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. And the Lord," Jeremiah 25, 4, "and the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear." God sends preachers before he's going to destroy people to warn them. What did God do when he was going to destroy Nineveh? He sent a preacher. He sent a prophet to warn them. What does it say? And I'm almost finished here. 2 Chronicles 36, 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, till there was no remedy." It's coming. Only judgment. Prophets are the last line of defense before God destroys a people. Malachi 4, verse number 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children of their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." They don't repent. What did God say at the end of Leviticus? He said in verse number 24, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Abominations that destroy nations. Plain as day, right there. And America is full of them. Absolutely full of them, and it's disgusting. And God is not going to withhold his judgment. It is coming. Like a freight train. It is coming. Whoa, somebody's crying. The Bible says this in Psalms 94, 20, verse 21. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. That's America. That's your Republican Party. That's America as a whole. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? Homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, open marriage, polygamy, whatever it is, all of it, all of these sexual sins are framed with mischief by a law. They're framed by their law. Judgment coming. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's coming. Judgment is coming. Be prayed up and preach the word of God and warn sinners, because God's judgment is coming. And if you see these that claim to be name the name of Christ, you better reprove them and rebuke them for their wicked stands for homosexuality, bisexuality, and any of these sins, because God's bringing judgment. And if they are saved, which I highly doubt most of them are, if they are, God's going to chasten them. If they're not, they're going to die and go to hell, deceive sinners. Warn them. Father, Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Lord, I know it was long, but Lord, it's necessary that we understand what's really going on in our country. How I can't just wave a flag and vote in an election and act like everything's great. Because we know that these people stand for wickedness, not righteousness. They are exalting sin. Dear God, judge them. Dear God, hold up your remnant and use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.